You know, I'm going to talk about winning over the giants in your life. And I'm not talking about a 7 foot, 300, 500 pound somebody. Okay? You'll figure it out as we preach, as we speak. Numbers 13, I want to start out with reading Numbers 13. Numbers 13, I'm going to read 30, 31, 32, and 33. Numbers 13. I see some of you turning pages, some of you swiping on your device. So Miss Lynette down here, she's got her device and she's got her page Bible, so she does both of them. Okay, here we go. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once to take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw there are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, coming from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight." Now, I want you to notice the exaggeration here. All the men were of great stature. All the men wouldn't have been of great stature. Just that clan of the giants was the only one that was of great stature. And then they go on and say, "We were like grasshoppers in their sight." Well, that's what they felt like. But they said, "So were we in their sight." So, you know, they're trying to put thoughts from somebody that they didn't even talk to. "There we saw the giants. We were like grasshoppers." 12 men went to spy the promised land. Now, I want you to realize that the promised land for you is our life, our walk with God down here. Some people want to say that the promised land is heaven, but it couldn't be because there's no battles to be fought in heaven. And God told them he'd give them the land, but they have to possess it. We are born again, but then we have to possess all the promises of God that are ours. We have to possess them. They don't fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree. Here, they said that the 12 men that went back said, "We can't." The Caleb and Joshua said, "We can." Now there's conflict in reports. So here we see two reports. 10 said, "We can't. There are giants in the land. It's impossible." Caleb and Joshua said, "Hey, we can do it." There are giants in your life. The giants are real. They are insurmountable obstacles, opposing force that try to control your life. Now, if you're going to get victory over the giants, you got to identify the giants. And I'm just going to identify a few here. There's a whole bunch, but there's fear is a giant. Insecurity is a giant that comes into our lives. Worry is a giant. Lack and poverty is a giant. Joblessness is a giant. Sickness and disease is a giant. That's just identifying a few of them. But make sure when you are identifying these, you are identifying correctly, and it's just not a shadow, something that the devil's trying to get you to believe when it isn't even there. You see, that's one of his tactics. He brings a giant into your life, trying to get you to believe a lie, something that doesn't even exist. You know, shadows prey on our fears. right? You know, there's this fella. One night he woke up and he looked out the window and he saw it looked like a man at the clothesline. And he looked like he was moving toward the house. So he grabbed his shotgun and fired a couple of shots out of his shotgun, and because fear grabbed him. And his wife jumped up and said, "What have you done? That was my dress hanging on the clothesline." Now, for you young people, before we had clothes dryers, we had clotheslines. And you wash your clothes and you went and hung them out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I see some that don't. I tell you what, clotheslines can be dangerous. Especially if they're hanging low, and you and a bunch of your buddies went over to your buddy's house down the street, and put some toilet paper out there, done something, and now you're running back through everybody's yard because we didn't have no fences, and you run into one of those things, it hurts. Anybody ever done that besides me? Oh, I got some help in here tonight. Now, once you identify, then the giants, now you need to identify the strengths and weaknesses. If you're going to be on a sport team or let's say a boxer, now, he studies film of his opponent, and he studies and figures out his weaknesses in order to defeat him. Don't be afraid of the size of the giant that's coming against you. You ever heard the saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall? You know, if you're going to win in any battle, you have to identify your weapons and you have to know how to use them correctly. You know, take a boxing match, a boxer, there are defensive things you can do and there are offensive things you can do. There are offensive things that you can do when he throws a punch. There is a counter punch, they call it. All of those are identifying the weapons you have. We all have weapons to defeat the giants that is coming against us. We have the Word of God, number one. So, see, we got to identify our weapons. Identify what you have. You know, in playing football, sometimes the quarterback may not be a good passer, but you got a good, he can run, and you got some running backs that can run. So there's no use of you trying to throw passes because you don't have the proper weapons. You got to have, you know, there's no use to that. And, you know, playing baseball or fast pitch softball that I played from the time I was 16 till we quit playing. But it was fast pitch. And then when we didn't have no pitchers no more, it went to slow pitch. And for you that have never played men's fast pitch softball, it is a fast game, I guarantee you. And you're only 60 feet away. If a guy's got a good fastball, it's like these baseball pitchers throwing 90, 100 miles an hour. And that's how fast it is. Now, there is no, if you are not a home run hitter, there's no use for you to go up there and swing for the fences. That is not your weapon. I was not a home run swinger. I hit one home run in my whole career. I was a leadoff batter. My job was to get on base any way I could. So I bunted a lot. I did what I call a half swing to try to just pop the ball over the top of the infield, because that's the weapons that I had, and then my speed. I was fast, and I knew if I could, I can do it. But I'm using the weapons I have. Now, I don't use the weapons that the number four hitter has, because he's the guy that can hit the long ball. That's the number. I don't know whether y'all realize that or not, but the number four hitter in a bat in a lineup in baseball is the guy that's expected to hit the long ball. I'm not expected to hit the long ball. I'm expected to get on base. Okay? But see, I have to use my weapons that I have. I was fast. I could steal second. Done it many times. My wife is there. She can tell you. She used to go and sit in those games and watch us play. We'd get in the loser's bracket in the tournament, and we'd be playing back to through the winner's bracket to win the thing at 2 o'clock in the morning. And all of us had to be in church on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. So, but it was our church league. But we were playing in open league, but it was our church league team. But we used the weapons we had. I had a good arm. I could throw. I played center field. I could stand against the center field fence and throw, and one bounce it into the end of the catcher. And I would take a bushel basket of balls, and I would practice throwing to second base, throwing to third base, and throwing home. And I used my speed. I used my speed as my weapon when I was playing the outfield. So you've got to learn to use your weapons, what you can do. Everybody's not the same. I don't know how many times that the ball's been hit to the right center field alley, and I knew that the center fielder didn't have a crying chance of getting the ball. I took off as hard as I could go, and 9 times out of 10, I'd get there. But I didn't always get there. But because I knew that he did not have the speed that I had. So I'm helping him out. See, so sometimes we use our weapons to help our fellow man. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. We have angels. Remember reading the Psalms? He said he gives his angels charge over you so you don't dash your foot against the stone. My dad used to tell me all the time, said, son, when you pray, send the ministering spirits. In fact, that's one of the things he says in that CD out there. I guess it's the MP3 now too. Faith for saying it for finances. That's one of the things he says. Send the ministering spirits out and cause the finances to come. We have the name of Jesus. That's probably our most powerful weapon beside the word. We have the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The devil is afraid of the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that defeated him at Calvary. Then we have the armor of God. Anybody ever read about the armor of God? I got 50 people that raised their hand. Anybody ever read about the armor of God? Now, that's more like it. You know, sometimes when a preacher asks a question from the pulpit and only a few people raise their hand, it's sort of like my father used to tell this story. I don't know whether it was true or whether it wasn't, but my father, I was an associate pastor with him for 6 years. He said, when this preacher got up one time and said, how many of you want to go to heaven? Everybody in the church raised their hand except the one man right down on the front. And he said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, but I thought you was getting up a load to go right now. I don't know whether that's a true story or just a made up one, but I think that's the way people are sometimes. Do you realize the weapons that I just talked about, any one of those is more than enough to defeat the giant in our life, which is the enemy, Satan himself, that brings all of these things to us. But do you realize that we have all of these? Not just one of them, we've got them all. The enemy is not the giant that he tries to make you think he is, with all the stuff that he brings to you. But I want to tell you what, I don't care what giant he brings, it is no match for the believer that knows how to use his faith. Ephesians 6:16, taking the shield of faith. That's part of the armor. You'll be able to quench or stop all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see, giants try to come in and take control of your life and mess it up and get everything out of kilter. But I tell you what, there's one giant that's greater than all of the giants put together. And that's the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. 1 John 4:4, you know it. You are of God, little children, and help overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you is greater than any giant that can ever come or ever exist. Now, realize I'm calling giants the things that come into our lives that try to stop us from getting the promises of God. We need to realize the Holy Spirit on the inside is the greatest giant that ever existed. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than all the demons in hell. He's greater than any obstacle that can be put in your way. He's greater than any difficulty that you can encounter. Have any of you ever encountered difficulties in life? Any of you ever run up against an obstacle? Hey, those things can become stepping stones to your victory. Now, if you cow down to them, yeah, they'll defeat you, but you don't have to cow down. You know, any opposition that comes against you, you have the weapons to defeat. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, anything and everything that comes at you to destroy you, to take away your peace, to take away your finances, to take away anything from you, anything that comes against you can be defeated if you will learn how to use your faith. We need to get the attitude. You know, you ever heard somebody say, well, they got an attitude? Anybody ever heard that? We need to get an attitude when it comes to dealing with the things that are coming against us. We need to get the attitude that no giant is a match for the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me. There is no giant that can come against me that has more power, that has more ability, that has more wisdom, that has more knowledge than the Holy Spirit that lives on inside of me. Remember, it says that he would only speak to what he hears from heaven on high. Be sure and learn how to listen to that spirit on the inside of you. I got a whole teaching I did on it called Listen to Your Heart. It's all in the book back there. Listen to your heart. That's the man on the inside. That's where the Holy Spirit resides. We need to learn how to listen to that. It can keep you out of trouble. It can even keep you out of an accident. You know, there have been many times that I've had it pulled out of the office, out there, pulled on 71st Street, headed home, and I normally go the same way. How many of you normally go the same route from your house to the office or your workplace and the same route back? But I'm going down a street and I say, you know what? I think I'm going to go a different direction today. I mean, it just seemed like something comes up. Now, would have anything happened? I don't know. But when that does happen, and it doesn't happen all the time, I do that. In fact, sometimes we're in two cars because I'll have to go somewhere else or do something, and she does too. And so, but we'll have two cars there at the office. So we left the office together. She calls me on the phone and she says, I'm not going the normal way home. Something urging me not to go the normal way home. You can go however you want. I said, I ain't going that way either. Now, right down, she's sitting there. She can verify this right down here at the signal light, right down there at the corner where the bank's on one corner and Walmart over there, you know, all those down there. She's headed down 71st Street. I mean, she's going, getting there, close to the intersection, the light turns green. So she's not going to stop. The light turned green. She was several car lengths from the intersection. But as she approached the intersection, something said, slow down, slow down, slow down. So she actually slowed down, and a car ran the red light doing, I don't know how fast, and just missed the nose of her car. If she had been going to her normal, it hit her right in the driver's side. See, we need to realize the Holy Spirit on the inside of us has wisdom, has knowledge, and we've got to learn how to respect that and go along with that. There's a minister friend, he's in heaven today, that he heard my dad teaching, and he's a good friend of Dad. I don't know, Dad preached in his church many, many, many times. And I remember after Dad was there and he had talked on listening to your heart, or actually he called it how to be led by the Spirit. I call it listening to your heart. That's where I got it from. And he said, you know what? If I would have listened, he'd had three car wrecks. He said, I wouldn't have had any. The last one, like, to kill him and his wife both. I wouldn't have had any of them. But I'm in a hurry and I got to get somewhere. And I said, oh, that's just me. Hey, sometimes it's not just you. Many, many years ago, we were scheduled to fly out to go do a meeting. It's before the church ever started. I went out every weekend, preached somewhere, but she was going with me. And she woke me up and once that lady goes to sleep, nothing wakes her up. If she does get woke up, she can't go back to sleep. And she woke me up, I think, about 4 o'clock in the morning and said, we need to pray. I said, well, what's up? She said, I don't feel right. Something is telling me. So we began to pray, and we prayed for about an hour and a half in the Spirit. And she said, okay, I got released now. We can go. But up until, we weren't going. See, I'm talking about using our weapons to help us out. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now, Craig and I, we started riding enduro motorcycles. That's off-road. We didn't ride on the road. I don't ride on the road. I've seen too many. I've had to go to the hospital with too many and had to be there when they pulled the plug. And so, but we were riding, you know, going through the woods, riding off-road and stuff. And we were going to ride one morning, and I got up to get ready, and she said, you know, said, hon, I've been awake for an hour or so praying here, and I don't really feel right about you guys going. I said, fine, we won't go. I told Greg, we're not going today. And we didn't go. Would anything happen? I don't know. But what I'm saying is, when we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, He can help us to get away from a giant before we ever have to face it. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Come on. You know, oh, no matter how big or how powerful a giant is that's coming against you, it can't outperform the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit never gets tired, never gets worn out or discouraged. He never runs out of strategies. Because, you see, God is the one that's given him the strategy. God is the one that's given him the power. See, it says that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells with us, will quicken our mortal body. You see, in Numbers 14, 6 through 9, we read here again of Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land. And they spoke to all the congregation of children, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. The Lord delights in us, and then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Here, Joshua and Caleb declare, hey, we can beat the giant. Don't be afraid. Too many people, a giant comes into their life and they start wringing their hands. Oh my, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I've seen many people. I grew up with a man. I grew up in his house. I got his DNA flowing in my veins. And anytime you say, "Dad, what are we going to do?" he would immediately say, "We're going to act like the Word of God is true. We're going to act like the Word of God is true." See here, it says here, they telling these people, don't rebel against God. They're saying, what Joshua and Caleb are saying here is when they don't go when God told them he would do it for them, and they don't go, they're rebelling against God. Oh, that people don't like to hear that now, do they? He said, and I want you to notice, they are bread for us. In other words, hey, they're nothing. Then he goes on to say, their protection has departed from them. Hey, the giant you're facing, their protection has already departed from him. All you got to do is believe God and declare who you are in Christ and what you can do in Christ. See, Caleb and Joshua were going by what God said, not what they saw, not what they felt. See, the others were going by how they felt. They felt like grasshoppers and what they saw. You may not feel like you can win, but if you got the Word of God coming out of your mouth, you can win against any giant that comes against you, no matter what it is. Use the weapons that God gave you. Exercise your faith in the Word of God. Engage the power of the Holy Spirit. There are many, many times that I have quoted that scripture because I'm on a tough schedule, been preaching, tough schedule, especially when you travel and go to the Ramas overseas. They only have you for a short while, and they work the fire out of you. Ask Craig. He went to Brazil, and he said, "Dad, I was preaching 3 and 4 times a day." And I've had to say that I release that same power that raised Christ from the dead into my mortal body. I can do this. I can accomplish this. I can overcome. Speak the name of Jesus. Activate the angels. Think of that. We're being protected. by the blood, plead the blood of Jesus. You know, God has given us everything that we need to run the giants out of our life. If you'll believe and speak, you'll come out on the other side every time. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. Amen. Giants are no match for the person that has the word of God coming out of his mouth and believes what he says, not just saying it. See, you can say something, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to work. You got to actually believe it. Believe the promises of God. Declare your victory in the face of what looks like utter defeat. By faith, we overcome. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I want to read that from the New Century Version. Everyone who is a child of God conquers the world. Conquers. Defeats. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. So the one who wins against the world is the person who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't let the giants run you. You run them. You run them off. Because greater is the one that's in you than the one that's in the world. Don't be afraid of your giants. Stand up against them and command that they leave you alone. They get out of your life. Because your victory is in Christ and in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.